pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my amazing friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Hello. Hi there. Konnichiwa.
Hello. How are we doing?
Yeah. I'm just noticing that my hair, like, blends into the cover of my light switch back here.
Yeah.
So it makes my head look weird.
Yeah, it makes it look like you got a little square top mohawk.
Yeah, a little something going on.
Yeah.
Watching the video from last week, I was like, wow, I'm getting too much glare. So I have joined Jeff in the hat squad. Because it was like, this was like, just look at the shine. I mean, I completely, this part of my head is blending in my wall right now. So I'm like, yeah, we'll just go put on the pork pie hat again.
Yeah, but you look dapper in your hat. You look dapper.
You do look dapper, sir.
Thank you. I've got my mustache pointed and my pork pie hat on to be dapper. It always looks better if I'm wearing sunglasses, but I don't want to be that dick wearing sunglasses on his podcast. So,
wait.
I am that dick.
I am that dick. I'm looking for a pair of unpolarized.
Mm-hmm.
Sunglasses. I've got gunners, you know, that are supposed to take care of eye strain, which is fine. The problem is it's the bright lights and my migraines.
Mm-hmm.
But polarized lenses.
That is a problem. You need like the blue lenses or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was thinking about getting some polarized for, you know, screen, because screens have already ruined my eyes. Let's be honest. But I can't wear glasses. I can't wear my normal spectacles when I'm working on the computer because I can't see it. Everything just blurs out. I'm like, well, yeah, because my eyes are fucking attuned to these fucking screens after 30 years of working on screens. But I've been thinking about getting some gunners as well. And I was like, well, I could wear gunners with this hat. And people have just accepted as I'm taking away screen glare. So that's fine. So this came in this week for me. Planet Hulk, the complete trade paperback. This is it. I mean, this is all Planet Hulk. It ends with end of Planet Hulk, starting again with World, you know, the story continues in World War Hulk. So it ends with him on the surfing back to Earth on that asteroid ship he had.
Nice.
You cannot find the complete Planet Hulk cheaply, you know. eBay, you can get it for $20. Barnes & Noble, about $35. I've seen it as high as $100-something for the omnibus.
Oh, wow.
This is the small, not quite digest size, the bookshelf size one that Marvel is doing that matches DC's bookshelf size one. It's $15. It's not $10. Like the DC ones. Marvel didn't figure that out because they still use the dartboard pricing system. But it's only 15, and I don't have to spend 30 or more dollars or 40 or more dollars to get my complete Planet Hulk in trade. That's all. So I'm happy
about
that.
Nice. I love that for you.
I mean, I have the complete Planet Hulk back here in these crates, but I'm not cracking those suckers open. They're worthless.
Well, and then you'd have to get them out and dig through them. That's the problem I'm having, is I've got all of these back issues, but God knows where they actually are. So,
You know, sooner or later, that's going to change.
I know.
With any luck, these crates will be gone next week. So, whoopsie.
Don't worry about it. Just
here we are.
Those crates are going to be gone soon?
Yeah, hopefully by next week, those crates will be gone. Well, they won't be in the shot anymore. They'll be over here on the shelf where, because I am dumping 16 long boxes. I'm selling 16 long boxes worth of comics to the nerd store.
Nice.
And I've made arrangements with both my son to help me carry these fuckers out of my basement and up to and get them over to the nerd store, and also with Roger at the nerd store to purchase them. I mean, I'm not going to get a lot of money for it. I think they still pay about 13 cents a book, or 30 cents a book. Sorry, not 13 cents, about 30 cents a book.
Ooh, that's up from what it used to be.
Wow.
Yeah. It could be 25 cents a book. I don't know what they're he's going to charge, pay me. But if I get enough money, I want to buy one of those long file cabinets. You know, the like they have at the nerd store anyway, and Dr. Volts. And I found one that I estimated would hold about 3,000 comics.
Jesus.
When loaded, and I'm like, okay, that will be my limit then. And then once those 3,000, and if I've got to buy new stuff, then something else has to get sold, which would be the time to sell my complete Planet Hulk collection or something else like that. So yeah.
There you go. Sounds like a great plan.
I gotta back off a little bit. That's why I've been doing a lot more digital comics and not buying as. I still buy way too many paper comics. That's the problem. I'm like, no, I want to get that in paper. No, I want to get that in paper. And it's like, it's the same price digital, honestly, same price. And I don't have to store the fucking thing. I don't have to worry about its value appreciating or depreciating. I can just enjoy the goddamn story. That's all I care about. So, that was. That's what I want. how are you guys doing?
Life's good. Life's plugging right along over here.
Plugging right along.
Yeah. No, I mean, nothing significant. We're gearing up. Mini-Me is almost done with junior year. So, yeah, I'm making summer plans and getting ready for senior year. It's about awesome. All on my world. How about you, Jeff?
It's a weird day, but I was about a minute late tuning in to the Rousey fight last night because I wanted to watch. I wanted to watch Ronda Rousey kick some ass.
Right, like you do.
17 seconds.
Shut up.
17 seconds. I missed the fight by triple its length. I was 1 minute late.
Oh my God. And was Rousey the victor? Because I didn't watch it.
Oh yeah, no. She was just like boom, 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 splat, tap out. It was over.
Oh my God.
She Tyson Carreno's ass. I love it.
She did that weird ass arm block thing. Or you know, where she gets your arm and wraps her legs around it and it hurts apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It does, yeah.
So, you know, if you fired up your credit card to pay for Netflix last night to watch a lady fight, it was embarrassing, and I'm here for it because, as we recall, the opponent to Ronda Rousey, whose name I will not say anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was so quick. It was quick. I ran to fucking Instagram to watch it because they were just all they were doing
in
was
reels?
Talking about it on Netflix, and I'm like, well, I want to see this, and I popped onto the internet real quick, and somebody had already clipped it, put a header on it.
Well, it didn't take long, did it?
Yeah,
right. The clip easy.
They put a header on it. They put subtitles on it and uploaded it inside of like a minute and a half. I mean, it was embarrassing. So
that's
about 30 years ago, I was, or 20 years ago, no, 30 years ago, I was working for Showtime Satellite Networks. And that was when Mike Tyson got out of prison and came back to fight again.
That Irish guy.
And they did these pay-per-views for all of his fights that took less than a minute for him to take the fucker out. Because he'd been in prison. He'd done nothing in prison but work out. Nothing but work out. He was ready for this shit. his entire prison sentence he took out on every one of those guys with one punch. The only guy who gave him any challenge was good old Van Gogh, Evander Holyfield, that he Van Goghed for him. But yeah, otherwise it was just these fast fights. And we were a call center taking all the support calls for the pay-per-view fights. Well, those fights would end that fast. Oh my God, people were pissed. And they would call us pissed that they'd spent all this money. We're like, we don't have control over how long the fucking fight lasts, dude. I'm sorry. It's not like we're telling Tyson to throw the fight for 20 minutes so you get your money's worth. It's like, it's just going to happen. So yeah, I feel for everybody who got the Netflix deal. The fun part was that we were able to watch the fights because we had them up on the monitors around us. It was the same reason I got in the NFL back in the 90s we always had the monitors up for the NFL Sunday ticket. So yeah, that was fun. Anyway, let's get into some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Jerry Conway, creator of the Punisher in the Spider-Man comics, has passed away at the age of 73.
Bless his heart.
Yep. Jerry Conway, renowned comic book writer who helped create characters and stories for Marvel and DC, including the Punisher, passed away Monday. In a statement announcing his death, Marvel described Conway as a legendary comic book writer with a prolific career. He died of pancreatic cancer on Sunday in Thousand Oaks, California. He apparently was not surrounded by murderous family.
Yeah.
Well, at least we know it was the cancer and not the murderous family, I suppose.
Yeah.
Murderous cancer, because pancreatic is one of the fastest killers you can get.
It's not great. Mm-hmm. It's not great. From Spider-Man to the Avengers, Iron Man to Captain Marvel, Jerry Conway has deftly written almost every character in the Marvel Universe, said Sablewski-san. Jerry Conway's legacy has made an undeniable and indelible impact on the superhero stories we know and love. He will be dearly missed. I read his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read Jerry Conway all throughout my childhood. Thought he was a great writer, you know. I mean, I didn't know one writer from the other back then, but you know, it was like I look back on those days of the early Spider-Mans, the stuff he was working on, even as an editor there at Marvel, and I'm like, yeah, his hands were in everything, and he was brilliant doing it. Absolutely.
Yep. New Batman movie, gonna be a trilogy. Mm. Apparently coming out next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Batman is going to be the star of many DC projects that are coming up. Among them are a couple of live-action Batman movies, including Matt Reeves' The Batman Part 2, which I don't know what the fuck that one's really going to be about. They're saying Long Halloween, but boy, they got some impressive fucking actors coming in on that one.
Wants to work with Matt Reeves for one thing, but yeah.
What?
I said everybody wants to work with Matt Reeves for one thing. So.
I do.
Yeah, so it's like it's not a surprise he's getting these big names, and then they're pushing the money toward these big names, which is important.
Great. The other film is The Brave and the Bold, which is part of the new DCU slate that'll mm-hmm. introduce the new franchise, Guns franchise, both Batman and Damian Wayne. But in animation, Batman the Caped Crusader Season 2, the Robin-focused movie Dynamic Duo, and a 2026 release make up quite the slate, with later releases coming soon. But DC has officially confirmed that Batman Nightfall, Part 1 Nightfall, I need a little rest after that one, will have its world premiere at the 2026 Annecy International Animation Festival. The upcoming Batman film will be one of the many animated DC projects brought by the studio to the event. Well, that's exciting. That was a good storyline.
Nightfall's that storyline where Bane broke his back.
Yep.
And he basically had to hand it over to Azrael to be Batman for a while he figured out how to recover.
And Azrael has anger management issues, as we know.
serious anger management issues. Yeah. So it was. It's a good story. So if they're actually bringing that one to life as best, and they, I don't know. DC animated tends to do these better than the comics do, in some ways. Like the DC animated where Damian Wayne joined the Teen Titans, I was like, I actually care about Damian Wayne. This is making me like Damian Wayne. What the fuck? How did this happen? The comics never did that. So the animation usually does a lot better than anything.
Right.
Let's see. The largest collection of British comics ever sells for over $340,000. Yeah, the expansive collection of lifelong private collector Peter Hansen is going up for auction via Excalibur Auctions, with the collection including thousands of not only popular comics, but cover art, advertising ephemera, what a fun word, toys, merchandise, and fanzines, including some classic DC double comics, as well as Silver Age books and more. Now, the first two portions of the auction have ended up bringing in more than $340,000, and there are more auctions to come. The first will go up June 20th, while the second goes up July 8th. Has not been released yet what issues and items are going to be in those two auction parts, just that previous auctions are any indication. There are some real treasures for comic book fans.
Oh, yeah.
So, one piece if that... Go ahead.
If you were a fan of DC's British Invasion, you will see a lot of stuff from those guys, you know, their classic work when they worked in British comics before they came over to DC back in the 80s.
It says one piece that recently sold in the auction, a piece of artwork by Brian Bollard from Camelot 3000, sold for over 12 grand, while the original cover art to the 1988 comic ABC Warriors Book 4 Genocide. Okay. Never heard of it. Drawn by Simon Bisley, sold for over 48 grand.
Jeez.
The important word here is Simon Bisley did it, and he's a famous British artist, so yeah, his art style is very distinct. So yeah, it doesn't matter that it was ABC Warriors Book 4 Genocide, it's Simon Bisley did it, so yeah. People are spending a lot on that sucker.
There's no reason to pay attention to the Eisner Awards anymore.
Oh my God, I'm so pissed about this.
Nominees for the 2026 Eisner Awards were announced last week, and with it, some controversy. Yep. We're not talking about the usual frustration with who was chosen and who was snubbed. This year's nominees include what might be the first inclusion of work featuring AI. Stardust, the Super Wizard Anthology, was nominated this year under Best Anthology, managed by Van Jensen. The anthology was backed by an impressive amount of talent and raised over $39,000 from 614 supporters on the Zoop crowdfunding platform. Zoop.
Never even heard of that.
I think we're talking about it later, but yeah, we are. Next.
Oh, good.
It's good to know there's alternatives, is it not?
It's good to know it's that they don't have that name recognition, but he's still got 614 supporters to do it. I've only gotten 100 and something supporters for my campaign and barely made my funding, but he made 39,000 off this fucker. So, and it didn't have boobs. That's a big deal.
One of those who contributed was Michael Todasco, using his AI persona, Alex Irons, for an included page. Todasco went online and bragged about it.
Yep.
He did. And even though he's bragged about it, it's still there.
Yep.
I trained a model on the original Fletcher Hanks artwork and story structure, and the AI generated the published tale, is what he brags about. So he's ripping off Fletcher Hanks and story structure for a single page comic that he was like, no, I want it to look like this. And the rest of the book has got like Mike Allred art, which is all, you know, individual, you know, personal artwork. a bunch of other artwork, and yet he's getting nominated in this, and it's because he went and bragged about it. Guess what? Those of us who vote for Eisner Awards are not going to vote for now, Tedesco. Because I can tell you, I won't be voting for this book as best anthology.
Well, it does. It punishes everybody else in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody did the work. So, Stripe. I want people to keep in mind that there are at least two bad guys in this.
Ooh.
The primary
Neither
bad guy.
Neither one of these make any fucking sense to me as a Kickstarter creator. Can I just say that? I'm going to say that up front. None of this makes sense. We'll get into why as we get into the story, but I want to preface this by saying this doesn't make any sense to me.
Earlier this week, the popular crowdfunder announced a crackdown on adult comics or the ever-growing industry of selling sex-fueled spicy comics through the website. Seemingly in response to pushback from Stripe, its current payment processor, Kickstarter decided not to nut up and get another fucking payment processor, of which there are hundreds to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Kickstarter instead will just put sand in their crack and no longer allow creators to sell sex-adjacent content on their campaign pages. So, for the record, blatant nudity and sex acts have never been allowed on the platform, with creators being able to blur and censor the naughty bits. Now new rules are in place to prohibit implied nudity entirely. Jesus Christ, it's like going to church.
I was going to say, these people must shower with their clothes on.
Mm-hmm. They're never nudes.
Never nude. Yep.
Never nudes. So yeah, it prohibits implied nudity entirely, or even folks in scantily clad clothing. Yep. Kickstarter's new rules page, any art containing implied nudity where the subject is wearing lingerie, fetish wear, or clothing that is see-through or very tight, there's comic books. Or shows human genitalia. Well, there's Batman gone. We've seen his penis.
Yep.
Let's see. That very tight or shows human genitalia, the anus, or the nipple areola of a female breast, because we've got to have our pound of misogyny, will cause a project not to be allowed to fund on the platform. Furthermore, any attempt to blur, censor, or otherwise edit the image to a cover is also a violation of the new rule set. All right, go ahead.
These books make a lot of money. I barely make my fundraising goal every time I do a Kickstarter. Every time. I barely make my fund. It's piking it in every time. I would love to hit my stretch goal, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But I barely make my money, and most books like mine barely make their money. Any comic that has the nudity or the sex scenes and puts a preview up, edited, you know, censored, so you don't see naughty bits, makes bank. I've seen some make up to $100,000 just selling this stuff. Kickstarter gets a percentage of that. Their percentage from me is not paying salaries. It's barely paying anything. Their percentage from those books will pay a salary. Fucking guarantee it. Stripe gets a percentage of those sales of the card processing. They're making more money from those books than they're making from books like mine. So why the fuck? This doesn't make any sense to me. Please explain to me, in a post-capitalist society where everything is for sale, why this is an issue now. What the fuck, Christian Wright? What the fuck is this about? I don't get it. I just don't understand. These make money. Honestly, I'm actually writing a book that would have this kind of stuff just to make money. That was my whole goal. It's actually a really good book, so I'm not embarrassed by it. But at the same time, it's like, this would make money for me, more money than my current Shaolin Nun is making for me. And now here's Kickstarter going, oh no, you can't have that. You can't show anything on the screen. It's like, fuck me. Yeah.
Okay, that is it for the news.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're giving our picks of the week and the future.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Shit, I forgot to have us talk about what we read this week. Let's start with Joss.
I worked on catching up on Wonder Woman, and the Wonder War is starting. Look at this cover. It's so pretty.
Ching, ching.
So pretty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm all in. Tom King is killing Wonder Woman. Like, this is such a great book right now. I love it.
Killing in the good way, I would imagine.
Yes, in the good way. Like, Wonder Woman's not dead, everyone. Don't worry. She's fine. But yeah, this is really good. It's going to be a really great story. It's very action-packed. And just such a good setup in that first issue. I almost got the second issue read, but not quite finished. So that is where I focused this week. How about you, Jeff?
Matt Fraction's Thor Omnibus. Look, you guys, I don't know, between school, looking for work, doing work I do find, and, you know, taking care of things around the house, I don't have time to read. I don't even think I got an issue read worth. So I'm going to be saying that one for a long time. How about you, John?
I picked up Barbara Gordon Breakout digitally. I was right. It's a really good book. So the trope is they know something's up with this Supermax prison the Vandal Savage set up. And a lot of his political enemies are going there and being killed. Sound familiar? They're ruling these deaths suicide, even though there's like blood all over the place. So they're ruling them suicide, and it's obvious that they're getting killed. So Barbara, basically, the whole reason she got arrested is she planned it. And she's in prison by herself. She has no backup from the Bat family. She's just got to figure out a way to, she's got to solve the mystery and then get the fuck out somehow. That's going to be fun. So yeah. Hopefully Batman, you know, stops the Vandal Savage so they can just open up the Supermax or let her out. Meanwhile, she's already picked up an enemy who's tried to kill her, and it's good and violent. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And that's just issue one. Let's see, we had Wolverine number 20, final battle with the Adamantine. As I said in the last issue, he broke his claws on his right hand. He broke his claws on his right hand. So he's still got Adamantine on the left, and he's got to regrow the broken claws on the right, which he says they haven't healed yet. And I'm like, you got to regrow bones, dude, that aren't used to growing. So it's going to take a while. So I guess we'll have Wolverine with one hand metal, one hand bone. I don't know how that's going to work. It's one of those where I'm like, you're taking his claws away again. It's like, we could find a better way to do that. We don't have to keep breaking the poor things. And then at some point down the road, some writer's got to get him to where he can dip him in adamantium or something and get him back to coated with being coated with metal. It's all silly stuff anyway. That one wrapped up. There'll be a break, is what they're saying, in the next Wolverine. So it's basically a story of him and Nightcrawler hanging out, probably before the breaking of the claws, and then the next one after that'll be it's called Snapped.
Oh, clever.
With him having broken his claws. We got Iron Man number 5, the end of this first arc by Williamson. Fucking great. I love a good epilogue. I especially love an epilogue that gives you a little twist at the end. And this one had it. And I was really, I'm really excited about where that's going to go. Plus, we had a guest appearance by, I assume it was Baron Zemo, because we saw Citizen V mask, but I don't know if that's the case because he had his back to us. You're never supposed to see Zemo's face, but I assume that's who it is. Or it could have been Spy Smasher. I don't know who the fuck it was, to be honest. But I'm assuming it was Helmet Zemo, which was kind of an interesting little cameo there. And that's all I have read. Speaking of fun epilogues, Shallot Nunn is funded at the moment with this economy. I see people having to drop their pledges. I get it. You know, gas has gone up to some ridiculous amount, even though this is only where we get 20% of our fuel from. Anyway, they've it's currently at 6,100, which is great. It means we hit our fundraising goal. If we can get to 6,500, that'll unlock a stretch goal where everyone will get a digital copy of the story Greg and I did for Spider Squirrel.
Oh, fun!
It features Mei Yin. It features Shaolin Nun meeting one of the Spider Squirrel characters, Trash Panda. And because they have this whole thing where they keep falling through dimensional holes. That was so Charlie could work with other creators. And I was like, well, I could have him. Why don't I have Trash Panda fall through a dimensional hole and meet the Shaolin Nun? And then maybe she could tell him that he needs training or something. That would be fun. So we worked out a story. It was the first time I got paid for writing, which was, you know, writing comic books. I got paid for writing back when I was a technical writer. It was the first time I got paid for writing a comic book script, which was awesome. Greg got paid for it. We had a great time with it, but you know, Charlie said I could use it for whatever I needed to, so here I am. I have it for you, but we've got to hit that 3,500 mark. As of to the day of recording, right now, it's final order cutoff. Or the day this releases on Tuesday, it's final order cutoff. It ends on at 6:30 a.m. Mountain Time, so 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the 20th. That's Wednesday on Comic Book Day. So if you're in New York, and I'm having fun imagining somebody in New York or Boston commuting to work listening to our podcast. That'd be fucking awesome to me. And if you are, send us a note. Let us know that you're doing that. But if you are, you know, if you're on the East Coast, you're commuting to work, and you're hearing this, and you're going to get to work at 8 o'clock. Obviously, you need to pull out. You need to go to shellandnun.com/Kickstarter and place your order right now, so you get it. And then after that, you know that because otherwise we're not going to. You know, we are going to have late sales, but none of that is going to count toward unlocking the stretch goal. The stretch goal has to happen while we're still in our fundraising, in our campaign. When our campaign ends, yes, we have post-campaign sales, so you can come in and pick up everything post-campaign. But that's just extra. It doesn't count toward it. So if you want to help me, I've done 8 Kickstarters. I've offered stretch goals twice. I've never gotten there. This time we still have time to get there, but not that much time left. So if we could get there, I'd fucking love it. Thank you. Please come. Shellinun.com/Kickstarter. Final order cutoff. How's that? So let's talk about what we are. Let's give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So, in my hold will be Alias Red Band number 3 from Marvel Comics. Jessica and Typhoid Mary are teaming up. They're gonna get the Postcard King, a deranged man who uses letters to influence his victims. This is just a fun one-off. I'm really enjoying it. I love Jessica Jones. Just a favorite. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up mainstream?
Gotta wonder on that one. Are you using medium mail, or, you know, do you have to send it first class? I mean,
they
it's
use a forever stamp.
It's terrorism on a budget. I get that. You know.
What did he say in Margo's Got Money Problems? Media mail, the worst mail, or something like that.
Yeah.
I am a good friend to media mail.
I love media mail.
I'm mailing
That's how
a book.
I ship everything. Yeah.
The book is coming media mail because it is media.
There you go.
Yep. And every time I do it, they're like, "Did you want to upgrade this?" I'm like, "No. The next cheapest thing is the cost of the book." So.
And honestly, to an old guy like me, media mail does not take any more time than it used to take to send first class.
Yeah.
So, I know first class is faster now, but back then,
ponies.
Yeah.
Mainstream, right?
Yep.
DC Comics, Absolute Green Arrow, my favorite Democratic socialist with a bow and arrow. I really want to see what they do to him in the Absolute Universe. The thought of it delights me. And I have no specifics. I'm not playing, you know, toxic fan game over here where I'm building a story in my head. All I have is unadulterated interest in to see what they do for an Absolute Universe Green Arrow, because everything I've looked at, I've enjoyed so far. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the other was Thunderbolts. I haven't read a lot of Thunderbolts. So this is Dark Reign. Aftermath of Civil War. It's coming out in an omnibus for $150.
Oof.
Yeah, it's got a lot in it, though. But it's Andy Diggle, Warren Ellis, Christos Gage, Rick Remender, Jeff Parker, Paul Jenkins, Daniel Way, Jonathan Hickman, John Arcudi, and even more.
Wow.
So, I mean, that is a lot of really impressive fucking writers right there. So, yeah, that is one that, were I living in the fantasy that plays out in my head in the middle of the night where I have a job and make a living wage, I would try and talk myself into buying this. How about you, buddy?
Let's see. From Marvel Comics, we have Ultimate Impact Reborn. This is the... Miles Morales got back from the Ultimate Universe with a plan. He's got to safeguard the origin boxes. We talked about this months ago, I think. Catalysts for the creation of new superheroes created by Tony Stark. And they cannot fall into the wrong hands. So, of course, you know what's going to happen. Chris Condon is basically going to write about a battle for the boxes that is going to engulf the entire Marvel Universe. I'm sure this will be a limited series. They don't say that here on Fresh Comics, but I'm sure it'll be a limited series. It's Chris Condon and Stefano Casilli, who did Ultimate Black Panther, and they team up to create stunning and unforgettable new characters on both sides of the conflict that will shape the future of 616. New characters that'll be used in future Marvel movies that they will get $500,000.
That they can cast younger, because we're 15 years in at this point.
Exactly. From DC Comics, of course, I've got Nightwing number 138, more Dennis Cohen, which always makes me happy. There have long been legends of something bestial lurking in the forest just outside of Bloodhaven. Some say it's demonic, others say it's extraterrestrial. When a trail of violent incidents seems to connect this creature to the city's new superhighway, Nightwing resolves to get to the bottom of it. What he uncovers will bring one of his Titan teammates to Bloodhaven. I wonder who that will be. Looking for some long overdue closure. So there we go. Nightwing 138. Fun. Independent wise from IDW. So sorry, Jocelyn, but we have Seven Wives number one.
I know. I saw you picked it. You picked my other pick as well. So
we can't not have this in this state.
Right.
This is about, you know, the death of a fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know, the polygamous Mormons, who are, these two police detectives are dispatched to their compound in remote Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
This is ripped right from headlines from 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Matthew Dunn, the patriarch of the Dunn family, has been found stabbed on the pulpit of his temple, basking in the blood-soaked gaze of his savior. Apparently, they have a cross up on the wall, which would not be fundamentalist LDS church.
Right, right.
We'll see how this plays out. I'm sure I'll have issues with it as we go. But otherwise, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I just love it, love it, love it. And yeah. And then from our from Mad Cave Studios, Babylon Cove number one is coming out.
This also sounds amazing.
I just like the tag here at the end. Imagine, what have you ever wondered what would happen if Stephen King were allowed to write one of those Hallmark holiday movies?
Right?
Actually, yeah, yes, I have.
Babylon Cove. Yeah. You know, you got a no-nonsense career gal who returns to her picturesque New England hometown for the first time in a decade to attend a family funeral. And you've got Dennis, the all-American dreamboat who broke her heart in high school. Charlie, the late-blooming shy boy who Heather never gave the time of day. And Carthon.
This is where I was all in.
The ancient demon who plans to feast on the flesh of everyone in the town. Oh, I fucking love it.
I love it. Yep.
I see my wife watches those movies, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the same plot over and over again. I fucking love this. Awesome.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, what are your indie picks?
From, what is this, Image Comics, Odin, number one.
Ooh.
Green Room meets Midsummer in James Tinian's most relentless horror story yet. Oh, James Tinian, you say? All right, I'm on board.
Fair.
Yep. I like I said, I don't like horror movies, but I do like horror comics.
Right.
It's weird. And I don't read a lot of them, but I will read them, and I don't care for horror, but here we are. The other one is just a little tome from a group called DK Publishing called Astrophysics for Supervillains, Volume 3, Mastering the Multiverse and Other Secrets of Space and Time.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't care. You
had me at supervillains, so
yep.
Yeah.
Book 3 in the Supervillain Academy series takes us into the multiverse with fun and factual lessons on topics like black holes and time travel. It's when you're writing a book and you don't understand the science, you would grab this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it would explain it to you. Is time travel possible? Can black holes collide? What is dark matter? So, yeah, it's a factual and fun astrophysics books for young thinkers and budding scientists. And I am here for it.
And as I said, as I've said before, it's a DK book, so you get lots of pictures.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Jocelyn?
So, besides Seven Wives, I'm going to look for Zorro, number one, from IDW. I've never read a Zorro comic. I know Zorro. I remember the movie Zorro with a.
If you say Antonio Banderas, you're going to break my old heart.
I'm sorry, that's the one. Don't.
I was so old when those came out.
Well, as we've established multiple times, I'm younger. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. But Zorro is going to face his biggest challenge as he goes up against the might of Napoleon Bonaparte and his armies.
1998.
Yeah.
The Mask of Zorro was 1998.
Hey, I graduated high school the year before.
Oh. I am wounded.
You're wounded. I graduated high school 10 years before that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's my indie pick of the week.
Excellent. Actually, the Zorro one does look really good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I had picked the Zorro one until I saw the astrophysics one.
That's right. Fair. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't pick it because I struggled after JC had my other two.
I know.
I had Zorro on standby too, so
we can have a little conversation that excludes JC for a second. But you know, Danny Rojas,
yeah,
from Ted Lasso, played Zorro in a series after Ted Lasso.
Really?
That popped up on Prime Video for like 2.5 minutes. I watched 10 minutes of episode one and was like, "This may be some of the worst television I've ever seen in my life." And so I turned it off. I never went back to it. When I tried to go back to it, it was just fucking gone. And now you probably saw that he signed an actual contract to play professional soccer.
Yes.
Down in Dallas.
And he's so excited about it. I love it.
It's probably because he watched Zorro and went, "Oh, it seems like that Danny Rojas thing was kind of a one-off." Anyway, carry on. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, I do.
Let's hop in the TARDIS, and we're going to head to July to give our picks of the future. Well, here we are in July. Remember, we recommend these books so that you order them before the final order cutoff. This month, you can do it without you can order these without your comic book shop owner scowling at you for ordering too late. So make sure you get in this month. You will still be able to order these into all the way through June, but as I said, you're going to procrastinate. So make sure you get these in as soon as you can. So let's start out with Joss. What are you going to pick up in July?
Oh my God. Okay, from Mad Cave Studios. You guys, the title alone, it was all I needed. And then I looked at the cover art, and then I read the description. So, Florida Hippopotamus Cocaine Massacre.
I'm there.
Right? Exactly.
That's it.
That's all you needed to know.
Yep.
I don't even have to go into the description about how, you know, a federal agent and a lone wolf cop are hunting down a brutal crime lord in an abandoned amusement park that has hippopotamuses.
Those are just expected characters to have in this. You know?
Right, right.
Federal agent and there's, cop, yeah.
And he's going to release the most potent drug ever created, Coke 45.
Yeah!
And he releases it on the hippopotami.
Of course you do.
Right. I mean, how else do you do this?
Yeah.
It sounds like it takes place in Florida, because the amusement park is in Flamingo City. So...
Which
makes
means
sense.
The headline about this guy releasing his cocaine to hippopotamus will start with a Florida man.
A Florida man. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up in July?
From Titan, I'm picking up a little tome called Black Star Number 1. It is written by Kristen Kruick.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lana Lang from Smallville.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I'm picking it up. That's all I got.
That's all there is.
I don't know what it's about. I just, the whole solicitation goes into all the TV she's done. So.
Yeah. The story is really about nothing, but hey, it's Kristen Kruick.
Actually, it's weird. It's Kristen Kruick, and it's amidst skirmishes between two warring factions in the early 19th century fur trade. It's like, okay, this seems a little more specific than what's her name? Who was on the Star Wars or the Game of Thrones and in the Han Solo movie when she did hers? Why can't I remember her name?
Emilia Clarke.
That's the one.
Emilia Clarke. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, her.
Which was good.
Mom book.
Yeah,
it was a good book. I liked it.
This is just fur trappers. You're gonna write about fur trappers. You adorable little actress. You. I'm okay. I'm interested.
I'm kind of weirdly impressed that she's that's something that's in her wheelhouse. That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I think. Anyway, what about you?
Well, summer has arrived, and so has your perfect juicy beach read. Hot off the presses, this collection of scorching news stories showcases the babes and bombshells of the DCU slaying the summer. It's DC's Hot Girl Summer Number 1. Written by Megan Fitzmartin, Andre DiFratino, Trick Weeks, Kevin Scott, Josh Trujillo, Daisy Lim, Siobhan and Kathy Lee Ramon Perez and others, with artists Megan Hetrick, Andrew Drillin, Ramon Perez, Rafael Lorello, et cetera, et cetera. With cover by Gillum March. Join Hawk Girl, Catwoman, Red Hood, Grace Choi, Thunder, Shining Knight, Kid Quick, and more as the female Furies dominate the beach, the boardwalk, and any bad guys in their way. And there's an awesome alt cover of the Bat Family doing that thing where they're launching Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, up in the air off of a bat cape towel. So, yeah, it's kind of cute. Yeah, just fun. Fun stuff all around. Why not? Got to have DC. We got to have Hawk Girl Summer. Hawk Girl Summer, as opposed to Hot Girl Summer from 2 years ago. And that is it. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we are heading to Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, real quick, what have you been watching this week that wasn't Punisher, One More Kill?
I did watch that, but I also finished off Monte Cristo over on PBS. It was so good. You guys, it's beautiful. I love that story. It's one of my faves. And Sam Claflin did a really, really good job with it. So go over and watch that. I watched a few more episodes of Margot's Got Money Trouble. I love Nick Offerman in this role. I have one of my best friends, quick side story, her husband wrestles for a local wrestling group. Nice. And I was actually at the wrestling show last night, and I told her she had to watch this. And I told her it's Nick Offerman as an ex-wrestler, and she's like, I'm in. So that's fun. And then I did run out and see The Devil Wears Prada 2. And if you liked the first one and you like the cast, you will enjoy this movie. I can see Jeff shaking his head at me.
I just watched Devil Wears Prada a couple weeks ago, and I don't understand why a movie about women being mean to one another is so fucking popular.
I didn't either, but then I finally watched it this year, and I actually enjoyed it. So I still can't tell you, other than, for me, those actresses are amazing.
Sure.
And just, they're fantastic in it. They do a great job.
I agree. Stanley Tucci.
I'd rather watch Glenn Close in that than in the Hillbilly Elegy that she did.
Well, Glenn Close isn't in it, so it's Meryl Streep.
Oh, I thought she was in that one. Oh, it's Streep. That's right.
It's Meryl Streep. So, but yeah, it there and two has some more growth in those characters.
Okay,
which kind of redeems the first one.
I liked Stanley Tucci.
Oh yeah. Oh, Stanley Tucci is the best.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Jeff? What did you watch that wasn't Punisher?
Welcome to Wrexham came back with a 2-episode series premiere or season premiere.
Yes, it did.
So I watched both of those. The first one made me cry a lot.
Aww.
The second one choked me up a little bit. It tried, but it did not quite make me cry. Probably because I wasted it all on the first episode.
Yep. They got me on the first episode and then wasted it on the second one. If they'd saved the second one till this week,
sure.
I'd be crying again.
Yep. I watched the new James Gunn Superman movie for no other reason than there wasn't any soccer on.
Fair.
I watched the last 10 minutes of X-Men Dark Phoenix. I have been I've been fighting through this movie for almost a month now. And it was worse than I remembered.
Oh. Sorry, friend.
Yeah, it was just like, we're at the end of contracts for these people. It's time to make a movie.
We're going to pick Dark Phoenix because we haven't already ruined that once. Let's ruin it again.
Yeah.
Right?
I still think it was better than X-Men 3.
Oh, yeah.
It was it was weird and disjointed and odd, and I didn't care for it. And then from 1988, the Sondheim-like Young Guns.
Oh,
which
such a movie.
I watched as homework for Gen Zex Wednesdays here on the network over at theleftshow.com. When Braxton and I get together and I tell him things about my childhood, or at least younger years, and he tells me about his. So I will be covering Young Guns this week.
Nice.
Yep. Gonna make you famous. What about you?
Pretty much what we've talked about already. I watched both episodes of Wrexham, or Wrecked Me, as I like to say, every time I watch the damn thing, because I find myself cheering for games that happened a year ago and getting surprised by them because I'm not watching them. And then also crying over people in a town that I don't live in having problems. I also watched Margo's Got Money Problems. That I'm just hooked on that one now. I fucking love that show. I have a suspicion of who did the child protective thing.
I'm and not that far in.
I don't think it's who they think it is. So I'll just say that. So when you get there, I don't think it's who they think it is. Then we watched The Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
One more kill.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah.
I understand what it is and what purpose it's supposed to serve.
Yes.
I just... One, Berenthal. Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah.
That dude plays nuts so well. It's, well...
Scary?
Nuts.
I don't know who I want to give an Emmy to for this kind of stuff more, you know, whether it's Berenthal for this performance in Punisher or what's his name in Margo's Got Money Problems. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
So, Offerman. Nick Offerman is so good. I mean, he plays so much range in Margo's Got Money Problems, but so does...
Oh, Berenthal does such a good job.
Berenthal in this particular one, I was like, oh, my God, I am getting just hammered by this. I love it.
Yeah. Judith Light? Oh, my God. I haven't seen her in anything in years.
She did a great job, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what was the last thing I saw her in? I know it had to have been some guest starring role in some cop show I watched, because I watch a lot of cop shows.
Fucking right. Love Boat.
Or maybe an old procedural back when I was watching procedurals. But, you know, apart from Who's the Boss, I can't think of what they were that I watched. So this was, when she popped up, I was like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
She was so good. And I think it is. I think she's supposed to be basically their version of Donna Omicido. From Welcome Back, Frank. They just gave her a different name. Because Omicido. Well,
she's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That crime family, though, is in the comics. It's great. It's the Daredevil Punisher I just read. Yeah. The Daredevil Punisher I just read was almost this storyline. So. Yeah. It was kind of awesome.
She works a lot, but it looks like she's doing a bunch of voice work, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Star Wars Visions, Kite Man.
Oh.
Over there, she was Helen Villigan.
Of course she was.
Yeah, on that one. But yeah, it looks like guest spots, but she's definitely working. Oh, she was on Poker Face.
She was on what?
Poker Face.
Oh.
Yeah, she was. I remember that episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember her being on it. Like I said, it's all been guest star work, but I couldn't put my finger on all the stuff that she's done. You know, the last time she had a starring series was obviously
Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss? She made her money there, but she just kept working. She never stopped working. Right. And it's like, it's amazing. But this, I'm like, if they keep making these movies, these one-hour specials, then yeah, we get more Judith Light.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, obviously they set it up to make another one, so fucking go watch it so they make the other one because I want to see more.
Yeah. My biggest complaint is to all the dude bros that were like, "Hey, She-Hulk's animation's pretty shitty." You know, yeah. Did you see that fall Frank took? That they're saying online looks like Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah,
that was pretty. Yeah. That was a pretty bad edit, and half of it was practical. It was just backgrounds and detritus that they did.
Well, keep in mind they laid off half their staff.
Yep. So that one might have been on purpose. But yeah, I guess my only real complaint is that's it.
Yeah.
Can I have some more, please? And there's not.
I guess the next time we see Frank is obviously in Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man 4, and then maybe more of these. I would like more of these. So that's all.
Yeah.
Yes, please, more.
Yes, please.
Can I have some more, please? Yes.
Please, sir.
And the one dude, I'm glad it took the whole episode for him to finally get what was coming to him. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
It was good to have that one played out. Cause,
yeah, that guy was a jerk.
Anyway, I guess that's all we have for what we watched. We are going to have to take the news, the Tinseltown news, over to Patreon because we've been running a little long. And we want to try to keep this at an hour. Sorry, we haven't quite made it. but in the meantime, if you want to hear that news and you also want to hear about 7 Marvel comics that ruined their main character, as well as maybe some follow-up on Daredevil and Punisher as well, you can find it at Patreon at patreon.com/dfanmedia, where every week we give you extra content. All you've got to do is show up and join our Patreon squad to help us make a Patreon platoon. So after you've gone over and back Shaolin Nun, hop on over to patreon.com/dfanmedia and check us out. Until then, I will say, as I always do, until a Citizen V makes a special appearance in Iron Man, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.